Hello, I'm Lino Khmudu. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will discuss issues around access to female menstrual product. Later in the program, we will look at how heat waves are impacting people globally. But first, Nigeria's Center for Disease Control and Prevention says a cholera outbreak is taking a rising toll on some states as the rainy season intensifies. Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
Dr. Jide Idris is the Director General of Nigeria's Center for Disease Control and Prevention. He said on the center's website that from January 1 to 11th of June 2024, a total of 1,141 suspected and 65 confirmed cases of cholera with 30 confirmed deaths have been reported. Idris says the cases and fatalities were recorded in 96 local government areas in 30 states. One of the worst hit states is Lagos, Nigeria's commercial center. State officials say it has recorded more than 400 cases and 24 deaths. There are fears that the figures could increase during the week. Dr. Adefolarin Opawoye is a consultant on infectious diseases at the Lagos University Teaching Hospital.
The outbreak in Lagos was sort of announced, I think, between the 9th and the 10th of June, when all of a sudden there was an explosion of cases from various parts of the state, from Lagos Island, where carried a majority of the burden of cases. We had some cases in Ebute-Meta, Lagos mainland. We had some cases at Koshofe. And the multi-pronged nature of the outbreak is a bit alarming because it points to widespread contamination of sources or whatever. There's been a lot of theories as to how the outbreak started, with some food drinks implicated, but studies are still going on to determine the veracity of some of these claims.
Opawoye says a clean environment and access to potable water are ways of checking the spread of cholera.
So to deal with a cholera outbreak, we have to go back to the environment. There's something we call the WESH, which is the infrastructure on which the healthcare is built. As water, that's WA, sanitation, that's talking about the toilets and waste management, and then hygiene, which is talking about personal behavior. And so these are critical areas that we have to address when we are trying to talk about the control of cholera. And not only cholera, but of course, so many other waterborne diseases. You know, we have to address the issue of water. Many people don't have access to potable water, water that is safe, that's colorless, odorless, tasteless, and free of microorganisms.
Miss Fatima Farouk, a food vendor in Gowon Estate, a Lagos suburb, says she's aware of the cholera outbreak in the state. She says she maintains a clean environment to ensure safety of the food and drinks she sells to customers.
I make sure my environment is clean and I wash my food very well before I cook. For example, when I want to boil my meat, I first of all use salt to wash it. And after cooking it, I make sure that I cover it so that fly will not perch on it. I believe this cholera is true fly and dirty water. Like for my drink, I make sure my freezer is clean and my glass cup, it has cover. So when I serve, I give them cover to cover it so that they are drinking, no fly will perch on the tip of the glass.
The Nigeria Center for Disease Control and Prevention says it's working with other government agencies and international partners like the World Health Organization, UNICEF, to provide support to the affected states. Such support includes risk communication, active case search, laboratory diagnosis, case management, provision of response commodities, water sanitation, and hygiene interventions. This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Lagos.
A UNESCO report says that 1 in 10 girls in Africa miss or drop out of school because of lack of access to menstrual products. Referred to as period poverty, this global issue affects girls in mostly poor communities. In Liberia, Loveta Kwaya, a social entrepreneur and activist, is raising awareness about the problem while advocating and educating young women on how to overcome the challenge. VOA's Jackson Mbunganyi has the story.
In Liberia, like many developing countries, poverty and the lack of access to menstrual hygiene products has forced many young girls to skip school. Lovetta Kwala, a social entrepreneur and alumni of the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program for Young African Leaders, or YALI, says that she knows what that's like.
I am not unfamiliar with the ills of not being able to afford menstrual products and the adverse health issues that it can have on a young person's life, a young woman's life, that can also persist well into her adult life. When I say that, I mean to say that I too have experienced not being able to afford it. I've lacked, and I think I'm from a well, you know, able family. So if I could not afford it, how about the other girls who didn't have anything?
Rather than be defeated by the situation, which Kwala says subjects girls to severe health risks, social stigma, and social isolation, she founded Positive Actions Driving Safety, that goes by the acronym PADS. It's a mentorship initiative to combat period poverty by supplying young girls with sanitary products every month.
I decided that I did not want other young women to struggle like I did. I did not want other young women to not be able to afford clean sanitary products and resort to using tissue or cloth that would basically affect them for a long time. So which is why we started to just buy free products and to give out to young women.
Young girls in Monrovia, the journey to school is an already challenging one without the added burden of period poverty. Experts say that for many communities, the issue of menstruation is shrouded in stigma and shame. Lovetta recalls her early days distributing pads.
For a couple of months, we did this. We went to communities and we basically said, hey, take these products. They're free. You can have it. And at some point, I was feeling a little bit down because most times when we went into these communities, people would basically reject us because it felt like we were forcing it on them.
Sisse Hesu, a school counselor at the Alexander B. Cummings Model Science and Technology School in Painesville in Monrovia, says that many young girls having a menstrual cycle for the first time experience shame. She recounts one incident.
A student who had the first time period, and that happened, that occurred on campus away from home and parents. And she was frantic at first. The teachers did not know what to do. She wasn't saying what was happening. And she just had her hair bowed down in the class. And later on, she started to cry.
Jesus says lack of proper menstrual products makes young girls nervous and ashamed of having a period, and many want to stay at home. Her school educates young girls about having a period and offers menstrual packages so that girls don't have to miss school.
I have seen over the years working with adolescent and young people that whenever they are at that point, they stay away from social gatherings, they stay away from things that are important that they are involved with because they are ashamed. They feel unclean to be around. And most times with that, when you delve in with them a little more, it turns out that they don't have pads. So they feel embarrassed to be around people and they'd rather just stay home.
In addition to supplying menstrual packages, pads also promotes education, health, and women's empowerment. Kwala holds monthly mentorship sessions with young girls throughout Monrovia. Kwala's passion and determination has inspired others to join her cause to break the silence surrounding period poverty and empower girls to stay in school. Keturah Ganeo joined PADS for Girls when she was 17 years old and currently works as a volunteer and peer mentor.
I used to come to school, I used to bring tissue. But sometimes I bring the tissue, I wear it. The tissue can be big to the extent I can't even walk. I used to be embarrassed, and I used to come to school constantly because of that. Anytime all my people, I could stay home because it used to embarrass me.
Even though she initially experienced pushback in some communities, Kwala was able to distribute sanitary products to many young women, even those who were hesitant at first.
I would never forget this. This day we went on the GSA road, a community much like this, and we handed out boxes of paths to young women just in walking by or in between houses like these. And this young woman, I remember she had on lapa, other people call it rapa, and she was in a singlet, and she pulled me to the side and said to me, "I feel like God sent you my way today." And I asked her why. She said, "Had you not come along, I would not have bathed today. I know this is horrible," but she said this. She said, "I would not have bathed today for fear of changing the last pad that I had, because if I had changed it, I wouldn't have a clean one to change into." So now, and she physically picked up the bucket. I was standing there with tears in my eyes. She picked up the bucket and ran to the bathroom. And she said to me, she didn't go to school that day. She stayed home. She basically avoided people that day because she was seeing her menses and she didn't have any means of changing into a clean sanitary pad. That's why I do what I do.
Not you, yes. Which means we gotta do it in focus, which means we gotta be working serious, which means we gotta take the lessons that people bring to us. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. But you're not here for life, What does it mean, mentorships?
Twala says she has seen the impact pads has made in young girls' lives and is urging governments and community organizations to put more effort in addressing period poverty and promoting menstrual health and dignity for all women and girls in Africa. She says this will empower young girls to participate more in education, work, and social life, ultimately contributing to the overall development and well-being of communities across the continent.
Joining us in the studio for more on the story that we heard is Jackson Vunganyi, the reporter who produced this beautiful story. Jackson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
I mean, this
so
is
much.
An incredible, it's incredible, the story
absolutely.
Of Lovita, what she's doing.
Absolutely. Such
what drew
a great
you
story.
To the story?
Well, I mean, first of all, I met Lovita Kwala last year at the Young African Leaders Summit here in Washington, D.C. She was part of a cohort of young social entrepreneurs that were attending and going to different universities to learn skills and different type of networking opportunities that are provided during this time, their time in Washington, D.C. And we met at Howard University. And as I was doing some, stories with them talking about their lives, she told me about her project. And, it was interesting to me because as much of an impact that her story was having on her community or her work was having on her community, very little is known in the community or even outside of the community about how period poverty affects so many young people on the continent of Africa. The majority, first of all, Africa is the youngest continent. The majority are under the age of 21. The majority of that demographic are girls. And for you to have a group, that many people who miss school each month because they're going through a natural process.
Yes.
And there has not been, whether it's government allocating resources or NGOs responding to this an issue or even news media raising an alarm about the prevalence of this issue. Mm-hmm. For me, that really captured my attention. And as a reporter, you go where the story is. And this was the story that I felt that was quite important. So as part of our solutions journalism here at the Voice of America, when they asked us to come up with stories that we feel have an impact on communities around the world where journalism can play a role in highlighting a specific issue, this was for me, it came easily. So I decided to reach out to her and, we expanded on the original story that we wanted to do, just, profiling her and her organization PADS.
It's incredible when you think about this natural occurrence in a woman's body that some people still have to deal with in a certain way because of poverty.
Right.
So for Lovita Kwala, what is the main driver for her? I mean, this story was self-explanatory, but when you talk to her and when you see her at work and the kind of impact she's having with these girls, what do you think is the message?
I think, Lovita is a young leader in Liberia, and for her, she felt like this was an issue. Like she says in the story, she doesn't come from a very poor family, so her family could easily afford to buy her, menstrual hygiene products. However, she knows so many young women in her community that you know, would miss school. On some days you see them, on other days they don't come in.
Yes.
And that affects their grades, of course, and that affects their future. It affects the whole community. So imagine this one young person whose life trajectory is being affected by, like you said, a natural process in their life.
Yes.
But they are not able to advance in life because there's no mechanism in society to kind of, you know, help her, or resources, you know, allocated to that. And so she decided to, this was an issue that she wanted to lead on. She started her organization PADS. She also started a kind of a mentorship, program.
Mm-hmm.
Where she, you know, to demystify, destigmatize this issue. You know, up to now, and I mean, it's 2024, but when you talk about menstrual hygiene,
yeah,
there's so many in, you know, men who find it kind of queasy and, you know, like, oh, I don't want to even talk about it, let alone even, you know, do any work that is related around it. So, of course, it takes a young woman like her to, to come to, you know, to, I don't know, to respond to the moment, you know.
Yes.
That's what I'm calling, to respond to the moment. And she has done such an amazing and incredible job.
And a credible job you have done as well.
Thank
Kudos
you.
Kudos for being a finalist for the Solution Journalism
thank you, thank
Contest.
You.
So as a man,
yeah,
as an African,
mm,
as a father of two girls,
yes,
what is your main takeaway from covering such a story?
For one is that there's still a lot of stigma about menstruation in society. There's very little understanding, especially by men or by, you know, partners, whether it's father figures, whether it's brothers, about this issue. And which is kind of sad because it's something that happens every month. It's not like it happens once a year or once every 5 years. It happens,
yeah,
to a loved one, a family member, every month. And for you to still have whatever illusions about it, or to be ignorant, actually, I think it's really ignorance more than anything else.
Yeah.
To be that ignorant about something that is so prevalent is really working against yourself in many ways.
Yes.
So I want more stories to be done about period poverty. I remember when, you know, my daughters that are teenagers right now, when they first got their period, they were very comfortable with me to come and tell me about it.
That's
and
amazing.
Because they saw me buy, you know, menstrual hygiene products for their mom whenever she was on her period, she would call me, hey, can you pass a grocery store, you know, pharmacy and buy me this? So for them, they were comfortable. So we live in that type of household where these type of topics are not taboo. And we want to break these taboos. It's 2024. I think, you know, we know way more than we should, we should do better. Really.
Yeah, we should,
yeah,
do better. And this is incredible. And thank you so much, Jackson.
Thank you,
for this great story, for being a man who cares about women.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be back on Health Chat after like 8-10 years now.
Yes, Jackson was my producer, actually, at some point. So, yes, welcome back again.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
I appreciate
it. All right. That was Jackson Vungani, VOA's reporter, host, producer, joining us to talk about history, period, peace. Now, let's go to Kenya, where a public-private partnership is providing female students with free sanitary napkins that are dispensed from converted ATMs at school. The goal is to provide students from poor families with sanitary pads so that they do not have to miss school because they are menstruating. Victoria Amunga reports from Nairobi.
Often female students in Kenya who come from poor families are forced to miss school during menstruation because the price of sanitary pads out of reach. But the Kenyan aid group called Slum Sana launched an initiative at a Nairobi high school in May that provides free pads for female students. Here is how they're dispensed to students at schools. Each girl is given a special card they can use at an ATM machine that has been converted to dispense sanitary pads. Alfin Juma is the program coordinator for Slum Sana.
Each girl is allocated at least 8 to 16 pads per cycle, meaning every time they want to use the pads, they can be able to do that as long as they have their cards. Another thing is that if they don't have their cards, let's say they forget it at home or someone misplaces them, the teachers are given an extra card.
The Kenyan government says studies show girls from poor families miss 20% of school days each year because they do not have sanitary pads. The pad dispenser machine can hold up to 36 pads and run on solar power in remote areas, says Munira Twahir, the creator of what's called Ari the Pad ATM.
Technology is very important in solving these problems, especially in the space that we're in, which is menstrual health management. There's not a lot of hardware technology or hybrid technology to solve it. So I think this allows for students to have autonomy, so we cut off the middleman.
Officials say the initiative is being implemented in Nairobi and they hope to expand it to other parts of the country too. Quinta Atieno is one of the about 1,200 students who officials say have a pad dispenser card.
It's going to help us maintain being in school. Now you see most of our parents are not going to be required to buy the sanitary pads themselves since it's easily accessible in school.
A 2017 law, Kenya says female students who reach puberty must be provided free sanitary pads, but educators say a lack of access continues to be a big problem and affects students who cannot afford them. Mary Lonyangapoi is a school principal.
Our girls suffer from low self-esteem, because of those issues of begging from people. They beg from the teachers who are in school. They even come to the principal's office to say they don't have a pad and they are on their menses. And we've tried to support as many as possible, but the numbers are beyond our ability.
Activists are pressing Kenya to waive taxes on sanitary pads to lower the cost. Until then, advocates say technologies like the pad dispenser help lift the burden from the girls and allow them to attend class just like other students. Victoria Amunga, VOA News, Nairobi.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The global temperature trend monitor reveals that while overall global temperatures have risen by nearly 2.3 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels, climate change is fueling more extreme temperature peaks, making heat waves more common, more intense, and longer lasting. North America is experiencing extreme temperatures, and traditionally cooler places like Seattle, Washington, are facing consecutive days of triple-digit numbers. In West Africa earlier this year, a lethal heat wave overwhelmed hospitals in parts of the region. At least 6 tourists have died in Greece in June during a period of unusually hot weather. This month, more than 1,300 people died during this year's Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia as people faced extreme high temperatures at Islamic holy sites, according to Saudi Health Ministry. Medical experts say extreme rise in temperatures can lead to several health issues, including heat exhaustion, heat stroke, dehydration, and sometimes death. The elderly, young children, and those with pre-existing health conditions are more at risk. For more on the impact of extreme heat on our health, VOA spoke with Dr. Theophilus Wangata, Managing Director of Precise Healthcare in Nairobi, Kenya.
A heat wave is an abnormally hot weather. And this is part of the challenges we are facing with global warming. And the risks associated with it is that it can cause severe dehydration, which can even lead to death. The people who are most vulnerable to heat-related illnesses are the vulnerable people in our societies, mostly the elderly, or rather the older adults, and children. And then people who expose themselves to the outside environment, they could be young, but if you're outside a good portion of the time during a heat wave, you would be most vulnerable. During a heat stroke, people experience different symptoms. Among the common and early symptoms are excessive thirst, having a headache that has no clear reason for the headache, nausea, sweating, and this is abnormally high sweating, and high body temperature as well. And with the excessive thirst, it can get to a level where it leads to severe dehydration. The most effective ways to stay hydrated during a heat wave revolve around drinking adequate fluids, or rather having a lot of fluid intake. And so you need to keep drinking cool water every 15 or 20 minutes or so. Avoid alcohol intake because alcohol dehydrates the body further. Stay indoors by ensuring that you are in a cooler place, because most of the heat waves affect people who are outside. And use something to cover yourself while you're outdoors, like umbrellas. The advice I would have for viewers during heat waves is, number one, ensure that you stay indoors as much as possible. Ensure that you keep your work mostly indoors. And if you have to go outside, ensure you carry your water, cool water bottle with you, so that you keep drinking water all the time. And also ensure that any children, they are safe by being kept indoors all the time. Majority of governments during heat waves also reduce the exposure by closing schools or reducing the work hours that people go to work. For mothers who are breastfeeding, during heat waves, they need to ensure that they have adequate hydration so that they can be able to still breastfeed their children. They need to consistently drink water, and there are also other liquids that you can take. Avoid sodas because they may not provide the adequate hydration needed. And in the event that the mother feels dizzy or has a headache, they should know that they are already dehydrated. They should drink a lot of water so that they have enough milk production for the child.
And that was Dr. Theophilus Wangata, Managing Director of Precise Healthcare in Nairobi, Kenya. Zimbabwe is facing long hours of power cuts due to its dilapidated infrastructure and the impact of recurring droughts on hydropower. To help, the United Nations Development Programme is installing solar panels on government-owned health facilities. Columbus Mavunga reports from Bulawayo.
Health centres in 15 countries have installed solar power through the United Nations Development Programme's Solar for Health project. That includes more than 1,000 health centers in Zimbabwe, the largest program in the world, says UNDP resident representative in Zimbabwe, Aloyadele Odusola.
If you put all the renewable energy capacity that we have generated in the country, is 13.03 megawatts, which account for 35% of all independent power production, the one that is not done by government. It's huge as an individual entity.
Zimbabwe has for years been facing energy shortages. Long hours of power cuts affect even hospitals. Dr. Nasisi Janga is the chief medical officer at Impilo Central Hospital, one of the health institutions which have benefited from the Solar for Health project.
All the news that used to make the headlines in the newspapers that Impilo has no electricity for 2 days, 3 days, that should be a thing of the past. It's a real game changer.
Tandazani Chingila is happy his father's prostate cancer operation went through at Impilo Central Hospital without a power shortage.
Impilo is off grid now, which means Impilo will totally be independent because of this solar, so which is marvelous to us.
Authorities hope the switch to solar energy is seamless at all health facilities in Zimbabwe installed with solar power and access is released to the national grid. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Modu, in Washington, with producer Mukbilia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.